All righty. Hey, welcome to the Table for Who podcast. Table for you, me, and anyone in between. I am your host, Ezias, obviously. I'm super excited today because I have a special guest with me. This is my sister, Anissa Gail Edwards. Say what's up.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How you feeling?
Too excited.
You said feeling too excited.
I keep smiling.
It's okay to smile. It's okay. You on the podcast. You know what I'm saying? For those who are listening, welcome to the show. For those who are watching this on YouTube, thanks for tuning in. Be sure if that you like this video, like, comment, subscribe, turn on that notification bell. See, I'm trying to say all of this before we get into the good stuff, because I just want y'all to know, like, it's going to be good already. You know what I mean? But no, I'm super excited to have her on the podcast. As you know, if you've listened to this podcast before or watched this podcast, we want to set up the table for anyone who may not feel welcome into the space of faith, who may not feel like they are accepted in everywhere that they go. And so this podcast is supposed to represent a basic principle that Jesus had put out for all of us, and that was anyone is welcome at the table. And so today we're going to hear a little bit about Anissa and her story and kind of just her walk in faith. Obviously, I know her, but for those of you who are watching or listening, you may not know a lot about her. So let's get right into it. First question I got to ask is, how old are you?
I am 15.
15 years old?
Yes.
You got your permit?
Yes.
So you're driving?
When mom wants to go out.
When mom wants to go out. Fair enough. Fair enough. How do you feel about your driving experience right now?
I'm feeling confident, actually. Mom's taking me on the road. She's actually taking me on the highway.
On the highway?
She tricked me.
Oh, really?
She wasn't paying attention. We ended up on the highway.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, yay.
Was that scary?
Kind of, because when I was driving on it, it wasn't as bad. I was like, okay, I can do this, because I was already going like 70 miles per hour.
Yeah.
But transferring onto it,
yeah,
I was like, y'all need to slow down or get out of my way, because I'm about to zoom off of here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
And I was like, mommy tricked me. She was like, and she started laughing. I'm like, this is not funny, because if we end up in a crash, it's going to be on you. Yeah. It's not my problem.
No, that's crazy. I didn't know that, actually. That's wild. So where are you? You're currently in Cedar Rapids. You're living with mom and our stepdad, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
How has that living situation been for you? How have you been adjusting to that?
Well, when we first started, obviously it was like during like COVID, because like it was like 5 years ago, but that was fine. I was doing online, obviously, because almost everybody was. I was doing that. I mean, it was nothing really bad about living there.
Yeah.
I felt comfortable. Nope. Yeah. I mean, I don't really.
It just is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's a house, so.
Yeah. So you said that you were doing online school for a period of time. Did you go back to school? And, like, were you in person for a bit?
Sixth grade year, I went in person.
Yeah.
Yeah, sixth grade year, I went in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when, like, COVID started, like, dying down.
Yeah.
I mean, you still had to wear, like, masks, but, like, it was just dying down.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had to wear a mask for that year. And then, you know, I don't know, maybe, like, midway or, like, halfway at the end of the year, they said that we could take our masks off.
Okay.
And I didn't do that. Why? Because I had a loose tooth. I wanted to be like, like, it lifted. I'm like, can you not? Okay. So I had the mask on for probably like half the year, but once it fell out, I was like,
yeah. So you were in person, so you were out of person, in person, and now what are you doing now? You're a freshman in high school and you're doing all of your school online.
Yes.
So what made you feel like that was the best decision?
I'm gonna do a little backstory, but
go ahead.
So in middle school, I never felt safe at the school I went to.
Okay.
Why? Because people had broken in, jumped a kid, because he killed his brother or whatever. I'm like, wow, that's insane. And they're from high school.
Huh.
They're from Jefferson. Kids brought knives into school. Some girl punched the glass. They called the cops.
Oh.
And all this stuff was going on. I'm like, they say every morning they want to keep us safe.
Mm-hmm.
But yet these kids in this school are getting hurt. Still. And yeah. You're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a little story to the principal.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I need to get this out. I'm not about to just sit here feeling unsafe because you don't know how to do your job.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent him a thing, and he got back to me. No, he didn't even reply back to me.
Mm-hmm.
He saw it, didn't do anything about it. I was like, okay, cool. So now I feel not even more safe.
Yeah.
And now at Jefferson, because mm-hmm. Jefferson's like really ghetto. It really is. You can't literally ask anybody. But I don't want to go there because stuff happens there too.
Yeah.
That school's not even that safe.
Okay.
Teachers are literally offing themselves in front of the schools. And it wasn't in front of Jefferson, but it was in front of a different school. I'm like, what is this?
Hmm.
I don't want to be around this. I'm already scared enough to even go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trying not to worry about school shootings and all this other stuff. You think I want to go to your school and you can't even take care of a problem?
So it was mainly just about being safe. And you wanted to do school in the comfort of your own home, knowing that it'd probably be easier for you to be at home, knowing that the only, like, you're pretty much protected. Like, feeling at home was comfortable. And so, that makes perfect sense. It's crazy. I had no idea that any of that was going on. So, now that you're doing school online, and you're, you know, more at home now, do you find it hard not to have, like, community or connection, or are you able to find that?
Well, I usually do my work like at the crack of dawn, so like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Just to get it over with. No. No, not really. I don't really like people in general. Certain people, anyways. I don't really like talking to others that much. And I mean, yeah, it's good to like, I mean, after I do my work, I usually go out to see family and talk to them for like hours or whatever. Sure. But no, I didn't really have a problem or trouble finding or trying to have a communication with somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, what's it called? Lonely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I don't really have friends anymore. So
yeah. Not having friends, or just, you know, actually just people like from your school to like talk to, have you found yourself like kind of asking like, who are those people going to be in my life? Do you want? Because I feel like some people are like, actually, I'm good on being on my own. Like, yeah, it's lonely sometimes, but I feel like maybe, you know, I have less chances of being hurt, or maybe just feeling like you have to take care of somebody. So do you feel like you're better off not having friends, or do you feel like you want friends, but you don't, like, you want friends in the sake that you just want people that you can go to?
I've always seen my friends as family to me, because, you know, I've always been around them for so long. Yeah. Did everything together. So I would say kind of in the middle, because I'm good where I'm at right now without friends, because, you know, I have my cousins.
Yeah.
And then you.
Yeah.
But for friends, my personal opinion, what I really go for is people that I can actually trust and be myself around.
Yeah.
Like, take Jill, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I met her, like, I don't know, like, 2 times. And next thing you know, like, I don't know, probably like 2 years later,
yeah,
she adds me on Snapchat talking about, hey, Nee, I missed you and I love you. Would you like to come over sometime?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Huh? And I wasn't like, oh, why is she talking to me? Like, ugh. No. I was like, wow. I never had that before.
Hmm.
Okay, I haven't talked to you in 2 years.
Yeah.
But that was only because my cousin broke up with her.
Hmm.
And I was like, hmm. I mean, yeah, sure. Because when we, like I said, when we first met, I was really, she was really nice.
Hmm.
She's really caring. She still is to this day. Sometimes she'll text me saying, hey, Nee, we miss you. When are you going to come over sometime?
Mm-hmm.
And I know she doesn't text me all the time, yeah. And I get that because she has her kid of her own, has her little job as a photographer.
Yeah.
I get that part. I'm just like, oh, I didn't know there was... I mean, I know there's people out there like that, but, like, I've never seen them.
Yeah, to actually have somebody like that in your life, it's a little different. No, that's cool. I think... I'd say people surprise you. You know what I mean? Like... Especially if you're going into things without an expectation, then you kind of just let it be what it is and just see how it all kind of like transpires. I think those certain friends will just come out of the blue. I have a friend like that who I used to work at a summer camp with, and, you know, he and I at the summer camp were like super close. But then like afterwards, after I stopped working there, you know, and moved and all of that, I hadn't heard from him in a while. And only recently when he like just reached out and was like, hey, dude, can I like pray for you? Like, is there anything that I can be there for? You know, and he's been, you know, inviting me to different things that he's a part of. And I'm just like, we haven't talked in like over 2-3 years. And you're reaching out to me. And it still feels like when we met, you know what I mean? That friendship. And so I can completely relate to that. And like I said, you know, people surprise you. I want to get into a little bit about just yourself. Like, let's talk about, obviously I know, you know what I mean?
They don't know.
Right. They don't know. And so just tell me a little bit about like growing up for you. What was that like? Like, what are your memories of growing up?
Like happy ones or just like all?
It can be whatever. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna do the happy ones. I don't feel like crying right now.
Okay.
So for happy ones for me, it's being at my grandma's house. I mean, yeah, sometimes she can be all up in my hair about everything, but not about everything, but most things. I like being at her house in the countryside because it's like really nice out there. Mm. Quiet. I mean, you can hear some cars in the back, but it's nice out there. I like it. I like walking around her little garden or mm-hmm. her little patio mm-hmm. area. Yeah, I really like, I feel more free there.
Hmm.
It's just, you know, kind of where I grew up. So,
yeah.
Like half my life.
Yeah.
Always been at her house. Mm-hmm. Never had a problem with her. Well, like too big to the point where I'm like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
I never had a problem with her like that. Living at the old house, going outside, playing with friends till like the lights come on.
Yeah.
That's like so fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if mom was feeling nice, she'd let me stay out a little longer.
Yeah, a little longer. Yeah.
And I remember this one night we were playing with the neighbors next door.
Yeah.
You remember them, loud, but they were nice.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing with her sons because mm-hmm. she has three.
Yeah.
And it was like the lights came on and we were like, oh, we got to go home.
Yeah.
So me and Cam walked to the house and mom and auntie were sitting on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, and they were, you know, they were talking in the dark,
mm-hmm.
weirdos. And we're like, mom, can we stay out longer? And they're like, yeah, sure. Mm. Since we're, you know, we're still awake.
Yeah.
So you can go out. I'm like, yay.
Yeah.
And so me and my friends played hide and seek. And that's a big place. So you're like.
Yeah.
But where we hid, it was like really easy to find you.
Yeah.
Played hide and seek. Played tag. We just kind of did everything.
Yeah.
Race. We grabbed our bikes, raced around the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like. wow, I like it here.
Yeah.
I feel happy. I feel free.
Yeah.
I can do what I want right now, for the most part. It was just like, that's where I had all my play and fun time with other kids.
Yeah.
Other than camp.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah, that place that we had had, what, two parks? Huge complex. Like, I mean, our neighbors are practically, you know, somewhat of family. I feel like we would, you know, help. Our parents would help each other out if it was coming to, like, watch the kids or, like, you know.
Can you do this for me? Yeah. Can you get inside the house because we locked the door?
Yeah. I mean, it was just a whole bunch of things. And it was a really cool community to have. Yeah, I miss it sometimes, too. You guys moved, I want to say it was February. And that was when I had kind of finished out high school. I wasn't graduated yet, but everything online I was done with. So you guys moved to Cedar Rapids. And then that was basically it. Like, that's, I feel like that's when, like, the biggest, like, transition for you and I really took place. Cause that's when we weren't with each other 24/7. And I feel like that was most of our childhood. And so I kind of want to touch on to that. Like, how did it feel not being close to me anymore? Like, how did it feel being apart?
I know I've told you this before. Mm-hmm. It was like really when we were like really young or younger. I said, I'm like, but we're not leaving this nest, because I remember you guys. I know. I remember you got like the Jayhawks or whatever it was thing, like paper sent to you because your whatever.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I might go. I'm like, you ain't leaving this nest. Like, you ain't leaving me here. And now that I think about it, I'm like. I mean, not like I really had a choice.
Right.
But I kind of loved you instead of you leaving. And I was like, I thought you were going to come with us.
Yeah.
But you didn't. I was confused on why. I was like, well, is it Bub going to come over here?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's technically still able to live in your house.
Yeah. So
why is he not over here? Then when I heard you got an apartment, I was like, oh, maybe he wanted to, you know, be on his own now.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's fine. I mean, I can still go see him. Not that hard.
Yeah.
It's been lonely.
Yeah.
And without Auntie living with us anymore.
Yeah.
At that time, because she didn't move to Georgia.
Yeah.
But it was kind of lonely.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Mom and Dad go on dates every 2 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, can you stop leaving me, please?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, at that time we had JJ.
Yeah.
He was an old boo-boo. Yeah. He just lay down. He was sweet. He was nice. He was cute.
Our dog, by the way.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh. Yeah. I mean, he was there. When I like laid on him, but he like stank. So yeah. I mean, I kind of just sat on the couch. But
so it was just lonely. Are you still confused as to why I didn't go with? Or do you kind of understand now?
When you told me a few months ago when I called you, I was like, that's why Bo's not with us. Cause I mean, I didn't really ask Mom.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, she's not gonna give me a clear answer. Cause I mean, she's kind of the one that left him here. So I didn't want to ask her. And so when I called you and we started talking, and I brought up house living, whatever, I think you kind of like squeezed it in there, saying, "Oh yeah, that's where Mom left me," or something like that.
Yeah.
That sounds like really bad how I said that, but.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like I said, it was a big transition. And I think for both of us, like you and I, we've pretty much been at each other's hip since you've been born. I remember I was, I want to say five. four or five when I literally looked at mom and I was like, I want a sister. And, you know, from her perspective, she was like, the flip are you talking about? Like,
get on my face.
But literally, like, a few years down the road, you were born.
Boom, bam, pow.
And so it was kind of one of those things where it was like, I really felt like God was like he really saw me in that moment to be like, okay, like, you're going to have a sister. And so, you know, I knew that I had loved you from day one and I, you know, wanted to be by your side all the time. But I think when that transition happened, it was more so like, it felt like there was a part of me who was like, okay, I need to experience independence and like grow up on my own. Also partially, this sucks. Cause like, I'm not with my sister. I'm not with mom. And like, I'm completely on my own. And so it was a big adjustment, I feel like. And obviously there's no hard feelings. I feel like the Lord has really helped us both grow in that aspect. I think sometimes it's like, man, I wish you guys were closer. Cause you guys are what, two and a half hours out from here. And so it's always one of those things where it's like, man, I really miss Nate. And it's not the same not being able to like walk into your room and like annoy you. You know what I mean? Like it's not the same to like mess around with you. But like I also feel like we needed that for our growth. And you know, speaking about growth, I feel like you have grown so much in, you know, these past, what, 5 years now that you've been in this transition, you've been in a space of like kind of change. And so my question to you is like, when it comes to your growth, how have you seen God like in it? Or has it been hard for you to see him in it? Excuse me.
Anyway. for me, let's see. Well, I kind of still have this struggle today, now. But especially back then, I had troubles trying to see or kind of believe in God.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, grandma kind of just forced it on us. You're like, oh, yeah, if you're going to live in my house, Jesus, boom. Yeah, you don't get a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care because, you know, I get to watch movies after. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. I believe what he does is real.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, with all these things going on.
Yeah.
I don't know, talking about like people having other gods or whatever, but like all this like superstition, Illuminati, all this other junk.
Yeah.
It's kind of like hard to be like, well, I mean, if this is all just myth here, what about him?
Right.
But then there's like museums where they have his stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, they have his stuff.
Yeah.
So that must mean he's real.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people make it up like fake stuff, like fake artifacts. Be like, oh yeah. So it's in my backyard.
Yeah.
This means it's real. Like, that's not what that means. But, you know, you do you. And I've wanted mom and dad to take me to this. It's called the Bible Museum.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen it. Yeah.
And it's like where they have, like, Noah's Ark, like a...
Yeah, yeah.
Like a representation. I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I want to go. I want to see what it'd be like to be, like, living in that time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like millions of years later.
Yeah.
Here I am. And every time I see like on TikTok or like anything just in general about like museums, stories, I'm like, ooh, I get like not infatuated, but I get interested.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I want to learn more. I want to learn more.
Yeah.
This stuff interests me.
Yeah.
But when people put it like straight in my face, I'm like, I kind of don't care.
Hmm.
Why are you telling me this?
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
So you're more of a I'll find it myself kind of person.
And
do you feel like it's hard it's harder for you to experience Jesus when everybody else is giving you their perspective of him? Do you feel like you wish you could just have the space to have your own perspective? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, then, like, what are, besides, you know, TikTok and, like, you know, hearing about these museums, what are other ways that you take the time to try to figure it out?
Don't know what that was. Anyway, wait, what was the question again?
Like, just what are other ways that you take time to find Jesus? Like, for yourself?
For myself. For me, I like to read my Bible.
Yeah.
After I'm done, before or after I'm done with my homework. And I usually like to do it before because it takes me, like, a long time.
Yeah.
For, like, 3 hours to finish my work.
Yeah.
I like to read my Action Bible because, you know, like I told you, it has, it's like a comic.
Yeah.
But
Bible. The stories. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're, like, short. They make it short so you don't have to be, like, so you don't have to keep, like, buying different books for, like, every chapter. And so I like to read those. I like to read about three.
Stories.
Three stories.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, one would be, like, really long.
Yeah.
So I like to read three. And then after, after one story, I'm, like, I kind of, like, talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, why did he do that?
Yeah.
Like, when Noah, I think it was Noah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he did. It was one of them. And they were taking them in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
Moses. Yeah, Moses. Yeah, it was Moses. Yeah, correct. Moses. He was walking them through the desert.
Yeah.
And these people kept complaining.
Yeah.
Complain. But then when God finally had enough and gave him what they want, they were like, oh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
This, that. You're so holy. And then the next 2 seconds are like, well, he's so powerful. Why can't we have all this food? Yeah. Like, bro, make up your mind.
Yeah.
You can't. Like, are you only there just because you can get free food?
Yeah.
Like, what is your main reason being there? Yeah. Like, I was honestly getting, like, I want to say pressed, but I was getting heated.
Yeah.
I was like, then go back to the Egyptians and stop complaining. That's crazy.
Go back to the Egyptians is wild.
But you know, they're like, well, we should have stayed in Egypt.
Yeah.
I'm like, so you can get whipped? Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Gosh. Sure. Go ahead.
That was wild.
You're taking the weight off me.
Yeah.
I was like.
So that's one of your ways that you take some time to kind of figure it out by reading your Bible, reading the Action Bible. And I think that's really cool. I think there's so many translations of the Bible. There's so many different things. And yet, like, yes, you have to be careful about which ones you read. But I feel like the Action Bible is really cool. Like, if you really just hate looking at words all the time. I personally have a study Bible, which, you know, gives me, like, details on, like, what I'm reading. It'll give me a map to show, like, the location of what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's what mine does, too.
And so, with the Action Bible, you know, being a comic, it's actually nice because it feels like it helps me visualize, like, what's going on in the story a little bit more.
That's pretty cool. Why you click that?
And so, I think that's really cool. I would say that's, like, something that's, like, easy for you to, like, grasp. You were talking about the struggle of, like, believing that he's real based off of everything else that is in this world. Have you ever had a moment where you're kind of like, I don't even want to try to follow this anymore?
No, never.
No.
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
But to my knowledge and to my experience, I've never been like, oh, well, I mean, this is all going on. I don't believe him anymore.
Sure.
Or just that. I never said that. I'm like, I'm going to believe in you.
Yeah.
I just kind of need more to know about you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's people online saying, or just in general, that doesn't mean it's true.
Sure.
Because, you know, people are like, oh, yeah, Anubis, this. Like, no.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Like, that's a dog.
Yeah.
With a human body.
That's crazy. That's a dog with a human body. Not that we're, you know,
hating on your girls.
Yeah. Not that we're hating on it. Again, anybody is welcome at this table.
I don't care what you guys believe in.
And just... any point, yeah, any point of your belief, like wherever you are in your spirituality, religion, whatever faith. I'm a firm believer, especially with our faith, right? That it's not. A lot of people say, "Oh, well, it's just your religious practice, or it's just your religion, or it's just your, you know, Christian culture, whatever you want to call it." I'm a firm believer in that. It's not religion; it's relationship. And for me, and you'll hear me say this a lot more, I crave and desire to have a relationship with God as if you were to have a relationship with your best friend. You know, yes, I can follow all of the principles, but to know somebody is to actually take time and spend time getting to know them. I'm not going to get to know God by following after principles, by following after these rules and what Christian culture says we are supposed to do. Like, yes, I'm going to read my Bible, but I'm going to read my Bible to learn who Jesus is. I'm going to read my Bible to learn who he was. Yes, they say to pray, but I'm not praying so that he can check off a box or give me the things that I want. I'm praying because I want a deeper understanding of who it is I'm following. Because I feel like most of us, we're more susceptible to follow somebody if we know them. We're more susceptible to give our time and our energy to somebody when we can actually say, like, fully, like, I love you and I care for you. And I not only want to trust you, but I want to follow you. I think a lot of Christian culture sometimes, and what people may or may not experience, is like, oh man, like, I just don't feel like I'm connected. Like, I don't feel this connection. It's like, well, you're practicing all the principles, but you're not practicing trying to build a relationship.
Like, be a friend.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. Like,
and be a friend of God.
And if you're talking to Jesus, and someone's like, why are you talking to yourself? Like, I'm not talking to myself, bum. I'm talking to Jesus.
Disclosure, we don't have to say bum. We don't have to call nobody.
That's just me.
But yeah, no, I think that is true. And so I would ask, because you said you have this fear of being alone, right? Yes. So do you find like comfort knowing that you have a friend in Jesus and knowing that his presence is always near? Or in the moments where you feel like super, super alone, can you even acknowledge that he's with you?
Yes. Because sometimes I like talk about the past.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I randomly say something. I'm like, I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And mom's talked about it before. She's like, God speaks through you. Because she's like, when she talks to me, because sometimes I'll go out there, mm-hmm. like, she'll be, like, up at, like, 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'll sit with her, and we'll talk. Anything.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, Mom, so how's your scripture? And, you know, what's going on? Yeah. I like to ask about that, because I'm interested. And then she'll talk about it, and then, you know, I'm just like, you know, and I'm interested. She just, you know, kind of just keeps going, not letting me.
Yeah.
Like, I sometimes have to raise my hand. I'll be like,
not raise the hand.
Dad does it too. We'll raise our hand so we can get a turn to talk. But sometimes if I say something,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, we continue on. But then at the end, we're like, because I'm about to make breakfast or I'm hungry.
Yeah.
She'd be like, Nee, you know what's crazy? I'm like, what?
She says that a lot. You know what's crazy?
Like, yes. No, I don't know what's crazy.
What?
And she was like, that's how I know God's working through you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Mm. Like, what are you talking
about? So, yeah, you do sound crazy.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, and like, she's like, you didn't want to know how? I'm like, how?
Yeah.
Just tell me.
Yeah.
I'm giving you suspense. And she was like, because when we were talking, some of the things you said, that wasn't you. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Coming out my mouth. Yes, it is. Yeah. And she's like, no, that's Jesus. Or that's God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And at first I was like, Mom, you're crazy.
Mm.
I can't talk with you right now.
Yeah.
So I was kind of laughing. I was like,
Yeah.
Sure. But when I talk to myself, it was like, I think it was like yesterday, or it was like a day before.
Yeah.
I was talking to myself, and I said something. And I was like,
yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Sure.
And I said it. I just came out.
Yeah.
I was like, I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom was right.
Yeah.
God does speak through me without me even knowing.
Yeah.
Because you could be talking about anything, and I wouldn't even know about it, and God just be like, bleh.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no, that's really cool. And
look at that.
First of all, talking to yourself is not weird. I do it all the time. Ow. That's crazy. Now I'm getting slapped by the old mic.
You also have
no, I mean, no, I mean, talking to yourself is not weird. I do it all the time.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, if you say you don't,
you're lying.
Definitely lying.
You do it. I know you've
done it at least once, but you know, Mom, I definitely agree with Mom just as far as you know, the Lord is speaking through you. It's the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit for us as Christians in this relationship, Jesus said that this is a helper, right? This is a guide. And oftentimes I'll find myself, you know, say something out of the blue or out of the ordinary, or I'll be like, okay, I know I couldn't have thought about that. You know, like that definitely wasn't me. And more times than not, it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you, either to give you like a revelation, which is just understanding about something that you didn't have knowledge on before, or it's for somebody else. And oftentimes, especially, you know, for me being not only a youth pastor, but just a communicator in general, I rely on the Holy Spirit so heavily when it comes to how I communicate with people, because I want to make sure that the things that come out of my mouth are from a heavenly perspective and not from my personal perspective, because I know that I will say something that can either, we hear this all the time, your words can either build or it can destroy. And I never want to be the kind of person who says something to somebody or, you know, talks out of turn and it deters them away, not only from faith, but just from trust in people. And so, like I said, I really rely on the Holy Spirit when it comes to my communicating. And I think that's really cool. I think one, it's really cool that Mom acknowledged it for you, but I think it's even better when you can identify it yourself and be like, oh yeah, that's
not me,
like,
guys.
Like, it sounds weird, but like, that definitely wasn't me. Like, cause I know how I talk, and
I
that wasn't it.
It was like that. Like, it was like mad deep too. Like,
exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of already have a deep voice. But
no,
like,
I mean, yeah, but you mean like emote,
like, kind of like
crazy
monotone.
Not you changing your voice. What is that? But no, I think that's really cool. And like I said, I think that's even better when you can identify it yourself. Last few things that I want to kind of get into. Do you have to go to the ration?
No question.
Oh, question.
Go ahead. The ration.
Yeah, you can ask me questions too. It's not just a one way.
I was just,
you
know, I was just like,
y'all can ask me questions in the comments too. Don't forget.
I was like, when is this boy gonna start talking?
Okay. Yeah, wow.
So I get my question out. Anyway, so when I was at grandma's house, right?
Yeah.
This is about God, by the way.
Wash.
I mean, I hope so, because why would I just bring somebody out of the blue? Anyway, so I was at grandma's house, and we were talking about, like, it was me, Cameron, and grandma.
Yeah.
We were talking, because that's usually my trio that I, or trio.
No, it's definitely trio. Definitely not trio, but keep going. You got it.
That's my trio that I usually hang around with, because, you know, I've grown up with them.
Yeah.
So, we were talking about God. Whatever. And grandma's talking about how my faith about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling her. Then I was like, hey, grandma, is it weird that I sometimes at night, or like I hear either somebody following me, like walking?
Sure.
I mean, you can't hear that, but.
She was tapping her feet on the floor. You could hear footprints. That's what she was referencing to. Go ahead.
Anyway.
Keep going.
So, you know, I'm kind of walking.
Mm-hmm.
I hear somebody behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, footprints is kind of fast. Yeah. Like, slow down. Slow down, Sonic.
Yeah.
You don't need to go that fast. And sometimes I'll see at the corner of my eye a little figure.
Sure.
You know, they're not scary. I only got a face.
Yeah.
But they're just kind of there. They're just like.
What'd she say? I'm very curious as to what she said about it.
Grandma, no, Cameron was like, hey, I have that too. Sometimes I see those. I'm like, what are those? Are those demons? Because if they are, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't. I really don't.
Yeah.
And they're like, he's like, I don't know. I asked Grandma about it, and Grandma's like, yeah. Sometimes you could see some stuff like that.
Hmm.
Yeah, it might not be like a clear visual.
Sure.
But
I'm gonna paraphrase. Oh, because now I'm like, hey, you talking about? No, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
No, but I feel like your question is, does that stuff exist?
Yes. But, does it exist? And what am I seeing from the corner of my eyeball?
And that's a very, I want to say that's a very broad question. Now, obviously, there's speculations, right? There's always these different things about the spiritual realm, spiritually. As Christians, we fully believe, and you can read this in scripture. It says we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the evil things of this world. In other words, what the battle that we're facing is not you against me or you against me. It's the devil, the enemy, against God and his angels. And so we're, as Christians, and some Christians won't claim this, and that's okay. But for me specifically, when it comes to things of that nature, little backstory, when I was around 10 or 11, I told Grandma that I was seeing things, and it was more like static. Like, if you were to watch television, they had them old school box TVs, and you would see, you know, the static on the television. I was seeing people that looked like that when I was laying down in my room. And then she took me to a specialist. Pretty sure it was a therapist or something like that.
Wow.
But basically, this therapist said, you know, whenever I encounter these things, say, and, you know, in the name of Jesus, you know, depart from me. For many of us, we don't have those moments, right? And to answer your question, yes, I do believe that is real. I also believe angels and demons are among us.
Sure.
Everywhere. We have this identity in Christ. When you feel like, okay, I'm secure in Christ, your response is not, oh, I'm going to punch you. Your response is, depart from me because the Lord is beside me. Depart from me because you have no business being here. You speak with more authority. You don't speak out of fear. And that's the difference. I would say to anybody, that is a difference. When you speak out of authority in the Holy Spirit, when you speak out of authority in anything in your life, it doesn't have to be with demons. It could simply just be with, if the enemy is toying with you or getting on your nerves, or you find yourself heightened with emotion because you're going through something. If you speak with authority and power, not by your own doing, but with the Holy Spirit, you begin to recognize that you're not reacting out of fear and emotion, but you're reacting out of this security, knowing that the Lord is walking with you.
Like,
not just saying, oh, the Lord's with me, I know the Bible, yada, yada, yada. It's, I know he's right here. So you, like you said, have no business being here. So depart, go away from me.
Get out of my house.
And that can go for anything. If you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling depression, then I'm not saying, please hear me. I'm not saying that depression and anxiety, there are not like medical and like psychological things that you have to take care of. But I'm also saying, I've seen the Lord heal fully. I've seen the Lord remove things that are negative, that have no business being in your life. And if that is anxiety, if that is fear, if that is depression, I promise you, if you seek out the Lord fully and intentionally, and you ask him to help you work through it. Now, that doesn't mean just let him do it. That means you have to take a step into the direction he wants you to go.
And don't just be like...
Like I was saying, right? It's, you'll see who the true Christians are by the way that they respond to certain things, how they act, how they present themselves, how they hold themselves, how they carry themselves. they're not going to try to shove Jesus down your throats. I pray that they wouldn't, but I pray that they would be a living, walking example of who Jesus was. And the person that we follow is Jesus. So if we're trying to show people the way, it shouldn't be simply by our, it shouldn't be by hearsay. It shouldn't be by our mouth. It shouldn't just be by what we say. We should actively be living it out. That's why I say religion versus relationship. Because if I'm in a relationship with you and constantly, you know, talking with you and trying to understand you, innately, and this is psychological, but you'll find a rhythm and you'll actually start to sync with that person, which means you're operating almost in the same way. And so that's my desire. That's my goal when it comes to Jesus and my faith. It's I want to sync with you so that everything that I do looks like you. When people look at Isaias, I don't want them to see just Isaias. I want them to see Jesus represented. And so that's basically, yeah. So by example, right? We lead by example. It's not just by our lip service.
Also like to kind of clarify, not for this, but to them, be like, I'm not perfect. Nobody is.
Yeah.
So kind of just think of that.
Yeah.
What I might say.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, may not help you maybe in the future,
mm-hmm.
but. I'm speaking from experience. I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
I never will be.
Yeah.
Because nobody is. And I kind of like to tell them that, like, okay, well, what I'm saying right now doesn't mean I know everything.
Yeah.
Just kind of tell them, like, I'm human too.
Yeah.
Keep Everyone's going. Human. You don't have to put on a face, put on a fake show,
yeah.
for just for people to like you.
Yeah. No, I think that's really good, and I think that's exactly where I'd want to leave it off to. I feel like this conversation has been eye-opening, not just for me, but I feel like for the both of us.